You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Tuesday, May 30th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside CCM Baseball's Matt Modica, the King, Scott Engel, and the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson. My name is Greg Sussman, and not only is this Mike Trout Remembrance Day, but it is also 100 days until kickoff to the NFL season. Get them up, boys! Corey Parson, what's popping?
Yeah, that's it. We got 100 days till kickoff, obviously. Bryce Harper, big deal. So, a lot going on in fantasy sports this morning, and we got 2 hours to talk about it, break it down. You know what I'm saying?
3 hours for you and Matt, as, of course, old school fantasy comes up next. Two of you joined by George Kurtz in 2 hours from now. Scotty, what's going on?
I don't know if I call it Mike Trout's Remembrance Day, because it'll be back in 2 months. And I need to be optimistic about this, because I'm the Mike Trout owner in our Granite Street Tavern League.
Oh, so we should call it Scott Engel's GST Team Remembrance Day, because your team is now done. Modica, what's up?
Oh, wait
up,
a minute. Hold on. He's only out for 2 months, not the rest of the season.
2 months? That's pretty important. That takes you to the beginning of August.
It is, but the season's not over, though. It's gone for the half of the
You're right. Your season's
rest
over.
Of the season.
Well,
you hope so, because you're still behind me.
For now.
Oh.
For now.
Yeah.
Amongst all the negativity yesterday, there was one positive thing. Me and Vlad Sedler, RotoGut, are now number one overall in the NFBC RotoWire online challenge.
That's very good right there.
And also,
spin
things positive. Adrian Beltre and David Price came back yesterday.
Oh, Beltre's back?
Yeah.
Beltre came back yesterday as well.
Singled in 5 at-bats.
Yeah, so a couple of guys came back, but a couple of guys also got lost. And it wasn't just Mike Trout. It was crazy. The two biggest stars in baseball were the two biggest headlines yesterday for nothing that they did on the field. Mike Trout, of course, the MRI comes back. And I'm telling you, whenever these x-rays are inconclusive, it is never a good thing. And I had a feeling with this Mike Trout thing. Tears the UCL in his elbow. Thankfully, he's not a pitcher and it's not in his elbow. It's not his elbow, it's in his thumb, excuse me. I'm just so used to saying torn UCL in the elbow. Tears it in his thumb. It's going to keep him out for 6 to 8 weeks because he has some surgery on it. So Mike Trout out for a while. He can say goodbye to the Angels, that's for damn sure. So they're done. Bryce Harper, on the other hand, well, he got pissed because he got hit. Thankfully, it wasn't in the thumb or it wasn't the wrist and it wasn't the head. It was in the hip. And Bryce Harper, he doesn't take that very kindly.
No, especially not from a guy he's had word with in the past.
Hunter Strickland, of course, 2014. Harper homered against him twice. Strickland has a long memory and made sure.
Yeah, Harper was yelling at him from the dugout that day. I remember that.
Well, he probably tried to hit him that day, too.
No, I remember Harper, like, pointing towards him as he rounded first.
Well, he probably pissed him off, And I think it says a lot that Buster Posey decided not to move after Hunter Strickland hit him. We'll talk more about that, other baseball headlines, but we are 100 days to football. A lot of football coming your way today, this morning, on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Stick around. We'll be back in just a few here on the Fantasy Sports Network. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network, streaming live on the Fantasy Sports Network. Then, while Bryce Harper will be suspended, and Buster Posey will probably get hit despite not doing anything, Mike Trout is out for 6 to 8 weeks. I know that you are a Mike Trout owner, Scott. Mm-hmm. I know that you are a Mike Trout owner, Matt. I don't think you own him anywhere, Corey, right?
No, I'm not a Mike Trout owner, but you know who is a Mike Trout owner?
Adam Ronis.
Adam Ronis.
Look at the smile on your face.
I love it.
But you might not love
Corey loves
going
injuries.
To replace him with. I know, Scott, you have to replace Trout. Matt, you have to replace Trout. So, Scott, let's start with you. How do you replace Mike Trout?
Now, in the Greenwich Street Tavern League, I had the first overall pick, and I took Trout. And looking at my team, I don't think I can panic. I think when you look to replace a guy like Mike Trout, the gut reaction is, I can't replace a guy like this.
It's true.
But it's not necessarily the truth. You don't have to replace him all across the board. I look at the rest of my team, and I still have a lot of power and RBI production.
And then you say, shit, they just lost Mike Trout.
And then I look at the rest of my team. I say, the one thing that I'm going to lose significantly from him is speed. And I say, maybe I need to make a trade where I get like a Cameron Maybin or somebody like that. Somebody could pick me up in the speed department while Trout is out. I don't think you have to act like it's the end of the world. And stay in contention. Stay within that top four or five till he comes back, and then he can push me towards the top. There's no way you're going to replace one player like that unless you make some sort of major deal and pull apart the rest of your roster. Look at your categories. Look at where you can keep treading water. You can keep contending and focus on the ones where you're really going to lose something. And for me, that's what I'm doing.
Well, I mean, if you just look at Trout, I mean, across the board, this guy is awesome. So in a 15-team league, I'm going to disagree. You really can't replace him. I understand what Scott's doing. He's looking at categories. But your overall team is going to take a major hit. Batting average, homers, runs, RBIs. I mean, if you get lucky, you have to really hit like a home run and pick up like a J.D. Martinez from back in like 2014 when he came out of nowhere. People lost Freddie Freeman. I believe you lost Freddie Freeman. Yeah. Right? Freddie Freeman was having a hell of a season. I mean, he was up there with Mike Trout. I mean, maybe he wasn't stealing bases. Maybe he didn't have 10 stolen bases, but he was just killing it. He was one of the best players in baseball. Injuries are hitting everyone. I mean, I was pissed yesterday, too, about losing Gregory Polanco. The guy did nothing for 2 months. Finally, I put him in the lineup again this weekend. He starts hitting home runs.
I do the same thing.
He starts hitting home runs. I'm like, thank God. And then boom.
100%. I had Polanco on the bench. I've been sick of this injury. Someone actually offered me a trade for Polanco last week. I declined it knowing he was coming back. He comes back. He hits home runs. Great. Put him in my lineup.
Freak injury. Like just running into the wall and kind of like his right angle. Like, well, he was diving in right field for a foul ball. Kind of like crunched against the wall and they had to cart him off. It was terrible. But just to say what you said.
Terrible.
Just to say, well, I know you enjoy injuries.
No,
but
no,
I don't,
I'm just saying you were like, you know, it was terrible.
It was
like,
terrible. It was awful to watch.
Well, you know,
I don't think you do. But
it kind of reminds me of Jacoby Ellsbury, who ran on the wall and concussed. It's never not going to be knocking us the rest of the year.
It's terrible. No.
But if Adam Ronis had it, you'd think it was great.
I think it's terrible.
No, but if somebody on your opponent has the player,
let's not start this, Scott.
Let's not tell the truth
before something terrible happened to you. Okay.
Oh,
all right. Okay.
I'm standing up. What are you
going to
do?
You can stand up. Then you're not talking into the mic.
You're not talking into the microphone.
You're not talking into the microphone.
This is a radio show.
What are you
going to
do? I'm standing up.
Sit your ass down.
Yeah, I'm standing up. I thought so. You're allowed to talk. Anyhow, the one thing that look, there's no way you fully replace Trout. But I think your team doesn't have to die while he's out either.
I hope Ronis' team dies.
Everybody on it, right?
As a Trout owner, I really don't know what I'm going to do. There's really nothing out there in the 15-team league.
Because you took Trout in that in the New York main event you did with Vaccaro, right? Y'all took Trout 1-1?
I took Trout with Vaccaro on that in my super team, which I'm in the top three in the league. I got Trout. I got Polanco. So yesterday was a big day.
Yeah, but there's context, too, though, that we talk about with Greg. You're not in trading leagues, right?
You know, I'm in a non-trade league.
Yeah, so he screwed much more than, you know.
If I was in a trade league and I had Trout, I would be seeing what I can get for Trout. I know he's coming back in 2 months, but I ain't waiting 2 months. I want to continue to build on to what I have this season.
Yeah, no doubt. There's no reason
to
wait.
And that's something he's got me thinking about. I want to see who's low in the standings, and maybe he'll take a crack on him.
It's very interesting how, like, I do love Scott's eternal optimism, of course. Oh, I just need to pick up these categories. To me, Mike Trout is really a guy, much like Freddie Freeman at this point. So irreplaceable.
Well, what about if Scott sent you an offer for Jonathan Villar?
And you offer Mike Trout? I'll accept your offer. You want to do that right now? I'll do that.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, at least you're getting a player for next
year.
Get your speed back. All you lost was speed.
Yeah, but I'm taking a hit in batting average, a big hit.
Well, no matter who you put in for Mike Trout, you're going to take a hit in batting average.
Yeah, I'm not trading Trout for VR. That's not happening.
Just saying. If you, if all you want was speed, it's a great job.
I'm trying to make, you know, things. People come together.
Just saying.
I'm not doing it for him. Maybe for Billy Hamilton, I might do it.
Oh, Billy Hamilton.
Yeah, I might.
I will bring my offer
to
my
one partner. Category player.
Yeah, well, I need the category. I have pop, and
he's going to drain your batting average.
If that is something you'd like to consider, I will bring it to my co-owner,
and
we can see if that's a deal.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
You've been doing this for years. Give me second.
You've been doing this for years.
Yeah,
years, Scott. Talking down on a player and drafting him or trading for him. You've been doing this for years, and I'm getting sick of it.
I really don't care what you think.
All right. Yeah. You don't have to care.
No.
That's why you don't win chips.
Let the barbs be accurate.
It's been a long time since we heard that one.
Yeah.
Kind of like the confrontational.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Especially during
football season. I don't know if I'm doing Trout for Hamilton straight up, but we can build something around that.
I mean, all I know is I have 100 bases.
I have to look at your team because.
Make the trade now.
I have to look at your team.
Do it on air. Let's make some.
I'm trying.
The hidden batting average is not something I'm going to enjoy. So, it's something we can build around.
But you can also remember, I'm training for players. It's not going to be back to August.
Yeah.
So I don't want to forget
that.
Yeah,
but when you talk about, I'm in fourth place. You're in fifth. We're both in contention, right?
Yes.
You could be looking down the line, and maybe this is why I won't trade Trout, because you know that he's coming back. I know you joked at the top, you know, this Remembrance Day.
Yes.
He could push you to the championship.
But I also want to remind you, and I think everybody should actually know this, is that when it comes to thumbs and wrists, you may come back and play, but you may not be ready to go until next season. I don't mean that lightly, right? Like, the power that is in those wrists and the grip that is in that thumb, it doesn't just come back immediately. And I'm not just saying that because of Mike Trout.
Yeah.
I've seen that many times with many players, that those thumb and wrist injuries are very, very important.
And but Scott, you shouldn't be so concerned about if he's in fifth. If you're in fourth right now, and say you don't do nothing with Trout, you could be sliding down.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't really be worried about other people. I'd be worried about myself, my team.
No, but I was saying about him trading for Trout, it's obvious he would want to do it because if he remains in contention, Trout could push him over the top down the stretch.
I will tell you this. Despite the power loss, I have received a message. We will do Billy Hamilton for Mike Trout, despite the power.
I don't know if I can do
it. Just
now,
saying.
No, now you're chickening out.
I'm just saying.
You're talking all that big trash.
You're getting the elite speed guy. You said all you needed was speed.
Talking all that
we
big
could
trash.
Build something
5 minutes ago, 5 minutes now. Now the deal on the table, and all of a sudden, where's the nuts at?
I just said, we could build something around it. Stay
all
out of it.
Is,
and root for players
is,
to get injured.
I'm building bridges, and Scott's building walls right now. That's all.
I love it.
It's something
I hear that from you.
It's something we can work around that I'll look at.
Yeah,
I might want to do it.
Look a little harder.
Yeah. And you, I got to look a little harder. Yeah.
Why?
Ain't nothing there.
Oh, he's a hater.
Yeah.
As we said, it wasn't just Mike Trout last night. It's also Gregory Polanco carted off with an ankle injury.
Oh, my goodness. Terrible.
It's not broken, or it looks like it's just like a sprained ankle somehow, or bruised ankle. But in an air cast or whatnot. Could be a few days for him.
It sounds like the best possible case scenario.
100%.
I wasn't even watching the game. I got into a Twin Peaks vortex with the wife yesterday.
Yes, of course.
She was on
for
a few days. So we were catching up. So 4 hours of Twin Peaks.
The vortex.
And and next thing I know, like I said, Alex Wood. You sent me some text messages.
I did. Because normally you tweet very immediately after a major injury, and I hadn't seen the Alex Wood tweet yet. So then I texted Matt saying, and there it is, quote, and there it is, and the Roto World screenshot of Alex Wood hitting the DL, because of course Alex Wood hit the DL.
I did hear he was actually throwing yesterday.
That
so
was
it makes me think that they're just manipulating the...
As they have all year.
So hopefully that's the case.
And yet... That wasn't it when it came to the injuries yesterday. Another guy that we talked about yesterday is potential buy low, someone that we liked, someone that we compared Alex Wood to, even. Well, he got hurt as well. We compared Danny Salazar to Danny Duffy, and now Danny Duffy has a DL. We'll break that down on the other side of the break. 100 days till football here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Sports Radio Network.
So during the break, Scotty and I try to talk trade here. I go to his team.
Look at this maniac.
And I'm like, holy crap, you just lost Danny Duffy too. And he goes, oh, it's okay, I'm getting Jay Happ back. I'm like, oh.
Well, the rest of my pitching is solid.
It is.
I could survive the loss of Danny Duffy, I think.
Oh, I agree. Your pitching is very solid.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of the strengths of your team, to be honest with you. I'd be interested in one of those guys. But yeah, Danny Duffy, out of nowhere, he hits the DL with a strained oblique. That's going to be 5 to 6 weeks for Danny Duffy. And the hits keep on coming for the Kansas City Royals as well, one of the worst teams in baseball. They now, Matty Modica, lose their ace.
Oh, you know what? Maybe it's a blessing in disguise for Kansas City because they need to sell. You know, remember our trading places, get back in there and sell. They got to do it. Kane's a guy that will be on the move. They got some nice pieces to offer people. And I think, you know, I think that bullpen is going to get raided. Herrera, Soria, maybe Matt Strom is all closing in, you know, a month or two. Who knows? Or maybe he gets, you know, sent down and stretched out and is starting. So Matt Strom's definitely a guy of interest for me going forward. Guy I'm going to be watching, whether he's either closing or if he gets into the rotation, he's a guy that I want to own too.
I know Matt Strom was a popular expert target during draft season, and now he may get an opportunity to be stretched out and get into that starting rotation.
What do you think as Yankee fans about Mike Moustakas getting traded to the Bronx?
You know, I...
Left-hander.
No, I get it. Left-hander. The Chase Headley's terrible, but I truly think... And I get it, he's a free agent after this year, so it doesn't really stop the prospects from coming up, which is, Yankee fans, it should be their number one concern. What are you laughing at?
It's nothing. I just saw a funny tweet about Tiger Woods.
Would you like to read it on air?
It's probably not, you know.
Appropriate?
Well, it's not for right now. Let's get back to the baseball.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mike, anyway... Now I'm all...
Yeah.
I just don't see the point of giving up anything to get Moustakas when you have Gleyber Torres in AAA now. And you know, I get Chase Headley is not exactly the guy. I've seen Mike Moustakas struggle. I mean, I've seen him get hot, but I've also seen him really struggle. And to trade anything of value away from Mike Moustakas, who could come to the Bronx and struggle, or I mean, it could be great, I don't think it pushes you over the edge enough to go make a move.
Well, I mean, it depends. Maybe you do a Moustakas and something else, and, you know, you fortify the team.
Well, then it has to depend on what else, you know? I don't know.
What about a Moustakas and, like, say, Joaquin Soria? That's, you know, your bullpen. You get into the playoffs, and you have a Soria, Kansas, Chapman.
You're
making it a 5-6 inning game.
I mean, what if you make it Moustakas and Ian Kennedy, given the free agents the Yankees have?
Oh, the Royals would gladly trade Ian Kennedy.
I'd like Ian Kennedy back.
Yeah, I'm just saying. They would... They signed him to, what, $72 million?
I would like Ian Kennedy back, man, because CC's gone after this year. Tanaka could be gone after this year. Pineda could be gone after this year. Kennedy, a nice stabilizing fall. I don't want Jason Vargas.
Well, the thing with Kennedy that scares me, that what helps him in Kauffman Stadium is it suppresses home runs. You put him in Yankee Stadium, the home run factor does the scare me.
That's a good point. All right, so Danny Duffy, he's out for 5 to 6 weeks, and yet he wasn't the only other player hurt yesterday. There is more. Dustin Pedroia, he leaves with a sprained wrist. The MRI to come for him.
Today, yes. Mm-hmm. And he's been banged up all year. Pedroia's been really frustrating for his fantasy owners this year.
And a public service announcement. Oh, please. Please, do not take screenshots of your bench or complain on Twitter about injuries.
Everybody's dealing with it. Come on, chill out, screenshot mafia.
So, you know what? I hate that. Hey, it's all my guys. Why did my guys get hurt?
The whole league's been
like the damn team full of DL people. But everybody's going through it. I don't want to hear it.
Fantasy sports is a me kind of thing. People only focus on their own squads.
So, Corey, let me ask you a question. Yo. You are a JD Martinez owner.
Yeah, it's rocking
What place are you currently in right now?
Hey, I had a nice little bump yesterday. I moved up to fifth place in the standings.
That's pretty damn good.
Fifth place.
Would you be willing to entertain JD Martinez?
I would be willing to entertain to JD. My pitching. Category. Yeah, my pitching needs to improve.
Eight home runs since he's come back.
He's been
picking up where he left off last year and maybe even better. You know, JD Martinez boosted me to second in my league, whereas at one point I was 10th.
I mean, look, this guy, used to be I'm 10 curious home. To see where he ends up after the season. He's going to be one of the most sought-after players.
Then the next year in drafts, he's going to go high, too. He's going to be like a second-round guy, I think.
Yeah, he was, third-rounder this year, and he deserved to be.
Is that what Brian's
going
to recommend to you, Corey?
I'll
get him back.
All right. I guess your last name is Modica now because it's your father or something.
I'm gonna get him back.
That's a standard Scott cliche. What are you, my father?
My father, yeah. My New York accent.
Exactly. It's funny because we kill the Mets constantly for...
Rightfully so.
Absolutely. For rushing guys back over and over again.
Yeah.
And yet for Steven Matz and Seth Lugo, they are really taking their time. And I give them credit for this because normal Mets would throw them on the mound 2 weeks ago. And it was Matz and Lugo taking their time.
Yeah, Matz I'm very excited for. Let's all put Seth Lugo in perspective. This is not like some fantastic pitcher. I don't know. We're getting like way ahead of ourselves.
Well, he pitched every day in the WBC.
Yeah, the WBC.
Every single day in Puerto Rico.
But look, last season, I thought Robert Zelman was better than Seth Lugo. Coming into the season, I thought Robert Zelman was better than Seth Lugo. On May 30th, I still think Robert Zelman is better than Seth Lugo.
You just plagiarize your own tweet, for the record.
Plagiarize himself.
I even like... I changed the date
today. To the 29th. There you go. Steven Matz be excited about Seth Lugo not. And then another guy, Matt Modica, I turn to you for, sir, is just Tony Watson blew another save yesterday.
Hold on. Before you get to that, just Steven Matz, real quick.
Sure.
Now, I agree with you about the whole Lugo-Gazelman thing, but we've been excited on Steven Matz before. And the guy just keeps getting hurt and hurt and hurt and hurt and hurt.
He's like,
I can't get excited. Well, now, hello. I'm optimistic Met fan, right? I can't get excited about Steven Matz returning because I feel like it's only going to be temporary.
Well, the dad in A Christmas Story said, fragile. So he's very fragile. He could break at any moment. But look, we have to be excited about something. I mean, I try and say I'm a realistic Met fan, but I'm going to be a little excited for Matz. You know, maybe he breaks, you know, in a week or two. But, you know, we got to have something to look for.
When he's out there, he's like different than any other star that they have in terms of like mixing the speeds and the precision and stuff like that. I enjoy watching the guy, but he can just never stay healthy.
Him and Aaron Nola, to me, are like your right-handed and left-handed versions of good young pitchers that just seem like, I don't know if they can hold up.
I trust Nola more than it would Matz, though, wouldn't you?
I trust him a little more. I don't trust him that more, you know.
And it feels,
he had some issues last season. It wasn't like, you know.
And he's already been hurt this year. Yeah.
As I mentioned, Matt, Tony Watson's now blown two saves in a row. Got the win yesterday after the Andrew McCutchen walk-off. You were the one that was the most anti-Tony Watson person on the face of the planet, basically. And I came out here many times laughing. Look at Tony Watson now. Look at Tony Watson now. And my question now becomes, I know you had pointed out previously guys like Juan Ocasio and some other guys. It looks like Felipe Rivera would probably be the guy. Is it time to pick up Rivera now?
Oh, yes, it is. In the league with Vaccaro, me and him got him for, I think, $37 this weekend. The runner-up bid was $36. So, great job there. I mean, Tony Watson hasn't pitched good all year. I mean, he's got 10 saves, and we all know the save category and stuff like that. We know what the Pirates are trying to do. They're trying to build up some trade value on Tony Watson so they could flip him. Nicasio isn't going to get the shot because they want to use him in multiple innings, unfortunately. Everybody was high up on Daniel Hudson, but it looks like it's Rivera's job So he's the guy I would be going after.
So you're going after him right now. Scotty, I know you're always up on the closers. Is Rivero the guy that you want to own? Go grab him right now.
Yeah, I'm with Matty on this. And, you know, with Nicasio, I'm kind of done with that. We've been down this Nicasio road before. First as a starter and now as a closer. I'm pretty much done with that road.
Why are you going after Nicasio? I can see you going after Watson.
No, I just said I'm not going after Nicasio.
But no, I think Nicasio, I'm saying, I think Nicasio, ever since he went into the bullpen last season, has pitched great. I mean, he's
you just said Rivero's the guy.
Rivero's the guy because I think it should be Nicasio. I thought it should be Nicasio to start the season. He finished last season post All-Star break the most strikeouts among relief pitchers. I hear people say, well, what's his name? Ray Searidge couldn't fix Nicasio. You know what? Nicasio was in the wrong spot. He wasn't a starter. Once they moved him to the bullpen, he was really good. He's been really good this season, but he's a guy that they like to use in multiple innings. So why I'm saying to go after Rivero, he seems like the guy that they're going to use.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying I'm not going after Nicasio because Rivero is the guy, not because Nicasio hasn't pitched well in the bullpen. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not wasting my time with that anymore when I know Rivero is the guy.
Okay.
And that's understandable. Okay, if Rivero is out there in a league, waivers run, how much are we spending on Felipe Rivero this week?
If I really need a closer,
mm-hmm.
and I have like 500 left, I'd go about 200.
Okay, so you would go about 40%.
And remember, always go with like an unusual, odd sort of number so you don't tie somebody else.
So about 40% of your budget, you're saying you need a closer.
Yeah, if I need it that bad, yeah.
Okay.
Scott makes a good point about using odd numbers. Never use like
round
five or zero.
Five, ten, right.
You know. I would probably go at like 150 maybe this week.
I was thinking my 135-ish.
Is he available for you? Is he available for that for you, Cor?
I'm looking for him right now. Hey.
I'm going to look for him as well. I'm going to look for him as well during the break.
How you spell his name now?
When we come back on the program.
He's a maniac.
It's 100 days until NFL kickoff. We transition to football here a little bit and get you ready for the NFL season. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Back up with Adam, Roto Experts in the Morning. I don't know where Greg Sussman's at. I ain't even went to go flirt with the hotel staff.
I don't do that. This is my friends.
Sussman and his friends, what we got? So we got a lot of baseball go down. We got the injuries, Mike Trout, and all of that foolishness. All right, so we got that cleared away. But today is 100 days to the kickoff of the 2017 fantasy football season, with the first game of the season being, who we got? The Patriots and the Chiefs, right? They open up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we got Pats and Chiefs open up 100 days from today. So getting pretty excited about fantasy football. We got our Roto Experts exclusive edge mock draft going on right now, the standard version. I was working on some rankings yesterday. You know what, Scotty? Frank Stanfield, he has a pretty good team in this mock draft. I think this kid knows what he's doing.
I think he does, yeah.
Why don't you pull up the page and take a look at it? Huh?
Why don't you tell me his team?
Why? He has David Johnson and Todd Gurley on his team. I like that.
I like Todd Gurley as a number two running back, yeah.
Then he has Allen Robinson, Jameson Crowder, and Pierre Garçon, right?
Yeah.
He also has Carlos
like the Crowder
Hyde.
Pick in a standard.
He also has Carlos Hyde. And wide like receivers, you don't like him?
I don't like Carlos Hyde. It's like they're already talking about like moving him out of the way. He always gets hurt. He's on a bad team. But I'm not a Hyde fan, but keep going.
You know, your microphone's not on.
Yeah, I love my microphone. There we go. Okay, for the record, I love Carlos Hyde. That's why I'm interrupting here. I love Carlos Hyde this year. I really do. So the reason that you don't like Carlos Hyde is because he's always injured, right? Like
yeah.
He can't stay on the field. And that's totally understandable. But the reason that I'm on the other side of that is, and this is such a stupid thing, but if he were to stay healthy, got it, right. big if, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has proven to be effective when he's on the field. Wherever Kyle Shanahan goes, the running game is a thing. It is somewhere that is very fantasy valuable. Wherever he goes, from Houston to Washington to Atlanta to Cleveland, wherever, It's always very good. It's a Shanahan thing. Their zone blocking scheme is phenomenal. And I understand they drafted Joe Williams. I understand he's a fourth-round pick, and Kyle Shanahan banged the table, and that's the entire story. But just like they didn't move Devontae Freeman out of the way for Tevin Coleman, I don't think they moved Carlos Hyde out of the way for Joe Williams. I think if Carlos Hyde can stay healthy, he has the ability to be a top 12 running back in 2017.
Carlos Hyde or Isaiah Crowell?
So
Isaiah Crowell.
Right. So everyone will say Isaiah Crowell, and I understand that Crowell will get drafted first. I think Carlos Hyde has a bigger year than Isaiah Crowell.
I think I'm expecting him to be top 12. I think that's really, really pushing it. You know, if you were going to say, I like Carlos Hyde because he's getting drafted later, you know, I might be more with that. My problem with Carlos Hyde is not only you could bring Kyle Shanahan in, but this team's going to take a while to turn around. Not only is he not durable, but the problem is that this team was not going to put him into scoring position enough to finish off drive consistently. They're going to play from behind. He's going to get phased out of games. It's the same thing I said about Hyde last year, and it's the same thing I'm going to say about him this year.
You don't think teams improve, do you, Scott?
I don't see this team improving a whole lot.
Okay.
I think teams improve, but I don't think there's one big jump from year to year. I mean, you're talking about the Browns.
I'm talking about being fantasy.
The Browns and the Niners, you know. They got nowhere to go but up, but it's going to take time. It's good that they brought in like Kyle Shanahan, and now they're looking to the future, but this is going to be a hard year in a rebuilding phase, and you're going to see slow steps forward.
I think you get some good offense out of both those teams.
So I agree with that, right? I think it's going to be a hard year for San Francisco. I'm not disagreeing with you at all about that. But all I can tell you is that wherever Shanahan, both Shanahans have been, the running game has always been a fantasy commodity, and that doesn't change this year. Carlos Hyde is that. It is very, very good.
I don't disagree with you. Maybe 2 years from now, I think that offense is going to be sporadic and it's going to sputter.
Scott, you like him better. You like Tevin Coleman better than you like Carlos Hyde?
Yeah.
I understand I'm going to be the high guy at Carlos Hyde. I know that I'm going to be high
I like him too, Greg. I'm not fronting. I like him too.
I respect that you're going out there with that.
And that's fine. Yeah. I'm just saying
just
it
like
now.
I respect the whole Isaiah Crowell thing, even if I don't agree with it.
Totally. But, you know, Corey, you can go back to what you're doing with the mock draft right now. I just wanted to make sure I got that Carlos Hyde nugget in there.
What do you think, Madika, Carlos Hyde? You can't get down with it?
It's tough. I like Carlos Hyde as a runner. I just don't know what direction San Francisco's going. Greg makes a good point that, you know, the Freeman and Coleman could coexist. Maybe that's a possibility. I'm probably not going to have Carlos Hyde, and maybe I get Joe Williams later to get a piece of that. Another guy going in the area of Hyde, Crowell, is a guy that I kind of really like, and maybe right now I'm a little scared to take that plunge because of the guy they drafted, like four running backs, but I think in PPR formats, he's going to be a nice guy to own, and that's Ty Montgomery.
It's interesting because on my list of NFL breakout candidates that we're going to get to here, Ty Montgomery's on the list, and I really like Ty Montgomery as well. I believe he's going a little bit later than the Crowell and Hyde.
How about this? In the fourth round of the draft I did, let's see if it went that way. It went Hyde. These are within four picks of each other.
Sure.
So it's Hyde. Somebody took Terrell Pryor. Isaiah Crowell, and then Ty Montgomery.
Okay, so as of now, they're all going right next to each other. I love Ty Montgomery also. I think Green Bay they didn't do anything. Jamal Williams, but like they didn't do much here to replace Eddie Lacy or James Starks. They're giving Ty Montgomery an opportunity here. And we saw he can be successful out of the backfield as a receiver. We saw he can be successful in the red zone. Ty Montgomery is legit, man.
And the key thing, too, is he has Aaron Rodgers' trust.
Yes.
That is a major thing.
Monstrous thing.
I mean, as much as I know people think Jamal Williams is going to come in and just usurp him and stuff. He's got to prove that he can do all the little things, as they say. He's got to be able to pass block, you know, he's still a rookie. They got maybe like four rookies that they drafted. So, I mean, I think if the Packers can use Montgomery correctly, I think he's going to have a hell of a year.
And that's where I have the issue. It's like, I don't hate Montgomery. I'm just maybe not as quite as high on you guys because I think I see some of the negatives. I think Green Bay puts the running game a clear second in their offense. And secondly, now you talked about Carlos Hyde. You like him as a runner. I like him as a runner when he's on the field. When I look at Ty Montgomery and you know we're ranking him off of like kind of a smaller sample size here. When I watch him run, he doesn't run like a pure running back. I don't know about him handling the job over a full season. I don't know if I'm convinced. When he runs well, but just like he, I don't know if he has the vision, the ability to lower his center of gravity, the fundamentals, I think are lacking as a running back sometimes. When I watch him run, he looks like a tight end who's running after the catch. So that's what scares me a little bit about Montgomery. Now, I'm not saying I totally hate the guy and I wouldn't draft him, but I think I might be more skeptical than you guys.
I'll be underexposed to him in 20. I just think it's too much passing. It's too pass happy.
That I agree with.
But isn't he a guy that excels in the pass?
No, I get it, but I don't. They brought in these other pieces around him, like the other complimentary running backs. I think those guys can get involved. I'm not
out. They got Martellus Bennett in there now, too, they're going to throw to. I think in the passing game, yeah, he's an option from an NFL perspective.
He's going to get work.
He's going to get some work, but I think he might be like, you know, sometimes like the fourth, fifth target in that game.
But there's so many of them, and they throw the football so many times a game.
That's the problem. He's going to have fantasy relevance.
I'm just saying I'm not going to be overexposed to him. I do like the player. I like his other running backs. I like more to him that's going in that range. So
like
that,
who?
That's where I'm at on Mr.
Like who do you like else going in that range?
Let me find out. Let me find out. So you.
I'll tell you this. I knew that was going to be your response, Scott. Right? That it's a very pass heavy offense.
Yeah.
And because of that, he's not going to get enough work. And
I think there's going to be good games and some bad. Consistency is the issue to me.
And I agree with that. Yeah. But I think where he's going, you're not expecting Ty Montgomery to be an RB1, obviously. I think ideally you would want him to be an RB3, right? Like
you're not going to get him as an RB3.
I understand that. But when it came to a guy like Eddie Lacy,
that's the issue.
Yeah. Eddie Lacy a couple of years ago, Eddie Lacy was like first round pick.
Yeah.
First round pick.
Him go number one overall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same offense, nothing's changed.
Yeah,
this
but
guy
you know what though?
RB1.
We were wrong on Lacy because because I don't think we were at the mentality back then of being pass happy enough.
Oh no, I think we were wrong about A. Lacy because he got fat. I don't think we were wrong about A. Lacy because of the offense.
No, it used to frustrate me as a Lacy owner that when they got down near the stripe that they would throw when you think they would run.
Well, I think you
that frustrated me too.
I think you could say that I think you could say that about any awesome passing aerial attack. You say the same thing about Drew Brees, I'm sure. But I think Ty Montgomery is a good value here. I really do.
I think he's a poor man's Lamar Miller.
And then you say you could say about any awesome passing attack based off of Tom Brady, LeGarrette Blount scored 18 touchdowns because he's always putting them in position.
Yeah, but they didn't use Lacy like that. When they get in the red zone, they throw the ball to Jordy Nelson. They've been doing that for years, man.
Yeah.
And that's probably more than likely going to continue this season also.
Yep.
But I still like Ty Montgomery. I just like players like a Tevin Coleman more.
You know, it's funny
I like a Joe Mixon more. I like I like the Carlos Hyde. I like more. I won't go as far as say Dalvin Cook.
You know what's funny?
I would take him over high.
I like Marshawn Lynch more.
You know what's really funny? You talk about how for Green Bay, the play down there has always been just give the ball to Jordy Nelson down there. That's how he gets double-digit touchdowns. And yet, even still, Jordy Nelson doesn't sneak in where he should be. He's still undervalued, Jordy Nelson. Still.
Where do you rank him at wide receiver?
I haven't done my ranks yet, Scotty, perfectly
That's
honest
fair.
With you. But I think I'll be the high guy on Jordy Nelson. I know Corey has.
I got him at 7.
Oh, you have him at 7. Who do you have ahead of him?
Dez Bryant.
Like, I think you can make an argument Jordy should be higher than Dez Bryant.
I think you can.
Yeah, I don't have no problem with that.
Yeah, I think you can make that argument. Like, I have Odell ahead of him. I have
AJ Green,
Mike Evans, and Antonio Brown ahead of him. And then we can start talking, I think. Take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk more. This is the Road Experts of the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So in hour number two, we'll go full throttle 100 days until NFL kickoff, which means we'll go over 100, our top 100 ADP, get to the ADP desk. We got some top rookies I want to get into, some more breakout players as well. A lot of football coming your way in hour number two. Before we get there, it's time to go at the park with the Kings. Roto Experts at the park. We do it every day at about 8:55 a.m. Eastern time. And Scotty, you, I got an opportunity to talk to Jay Bruce.
Yeah, and Jay Bruce told the New York Times and also told myself that you know, that he spent some time, you know, absorbing sabermetrics during the offseason. Mets director of research, TJ Barra, you know, sat down with him and the coaching staff and talked about certain things that he'd like to do. And Bruce here talks about, like, after examining some of the advanced statistics or what they told him about how he wanted to hit the ball more to right center field this year.
My best swing is to right center field. And I think that, you know, getting the ball in the air, staying off the ground, and having a tight swing really helps my overall game. You know, when I go try and go too far to left field, I have less success, you know, and that's something I think that, you know, using the whole field is very important, but it's a certain type of swing that you have to use in order to utilize the whole field effectively. And my best swing, the way I can do that the most, is having a swing that's tight and a swing that when I'm right and the ball's where I want it, it's going to be a fly ball to right center field.
Now, Greg, when he first came to the Mets last year, he had a really bad first month, and that's because he felt like he was doing things. He was getting away from things that he did, like go, you know, taking the ball to right center field. He was starting to go the other way, et cetera. And he had a really good September, got off to a good start, tied for the most home runs of his career in April this year, and he's walking more this year. He's striking out less. He's hitting .250. Right now he's hitting .254 with 12 home runs, 28 RBIs, and he's gone back to kind of the hitter that he was in Cincinnati, where you're not going to get a terrific average, but you're certainly going to get 30 home runs.
You know, he had to figure out what, he had to get back in his groove and back right in his zone and figure out what was working, of course, for most of last year in Cincinnati and translated to Citi Field. And I think we finally have seen that. And the comfort level for Jay Bruce has grown tremendously over the past 2 months. And I think you've seen that.
Yeah. And to your point, last year, you look at his overall stats, he was tied for career highs in home runs and RBIs. And then also in this interview, which you can listen to on Google Play, you can listen to our audio boom, you can go to iTunes. There was a lot of conjecture about how he wasn't comfortable in New York. He says it's just the opposite. You know, he loves both New York as a player and as a resident.
Of course, full interview for Jay Bruce will be available, as Scotty mentioned. SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you listen to us, you can listen to the full Roto Experts on demand, Roto Experts at the Park with Jay Bruce, available now. Scotty, who are we hearing from tomorrow?
Tomorrow will be San Diego Padres catcher Austin Hedges.
Austin Hedges?
Yes.
Part of that crew, in my opinion, with Joey Gallo and Ryan Schiff, doesn't do anything but hit home runs. Like, they make contact, they go out the park.
Yeah, well, he's an improving hitter, I believe, though, and eventually he'll become better than that. But really, he's known for more than anything his defense, and that's why he's in the majors.
Absolutely. He's in the majors, and he's hitting home runs, which makes him good enough for us and certainly on our radar as fantasy players. So speaking of San Diego, how about Brandon Maurer coming back and getting two saves in a row? After losing the job, it seems like he regained the job. What's going on here, Matt?
I think it's more of a matchup kind of thing, and I think Brad Hand is auditioning. You know, they're putting him out there to raise his stock.
Okay, but I feel like they're putting both of them out there to raise their stock.
Yeah, no, both can be had.
Yeah, I have no question about that. We're going to take a break. When we return, we are officially 100 days away from NFL football, real NFL football. The next hour, we'll get you ready for the start of our coverage. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. 100 days until kickoff. The countdown is on. We'll give you the update each and every day as we get closer and closer to true fantasy football season. I feel like truly it starts like July 4th. It's like that kickoff date as we just like full throttle and get ready for it. And I know you're already doing a draft, Matt. I know you're Corey, you're into it as well. I'll get into it a little bit later on. I think Scotty's kind of more along my lines when he gets into it.
Been a draft for Corey. Right,
it's a
now,
mock draft. It's not real.
Yeah, still a draft. I guess we get semantic about it. Yeah,
but yeah, you know. So we'll certainly get into it in a little bit. But we're going all over it little by little here, each and every day. In the next hour, the 100 days to kickoff, we're gonna get into the LeGarrette Blount conversation we were having yesterday. We'll get into how that translates to Philadelphia. We got breakout candidates we want to get to as well. Over the next couple of days, I want to talk a lot about rookies from this year and rookies from last year and what we can learn. We're going to talk about some of the major coaching changes and assistant coaching changes that could have an effect on fantasy football. There's a lot to untangle here, and we're not going to rush through it. We're going to do it day by day, and we're going to break it all down to help you, the fantasy football player. But before we do that, I need to read this this note by Albert Breer in regards to Seth Wickersham's story on the tension inside the Seahawks locker room. Here we go. I think Seth Wickersham's story on the tension inside the Seahawks illuminated what has been a fairly open secret in NFL circles for a long time. Seattle hasn't just survived, but they've thrived as a powder keg over the last half decade. Marshawn Lynch's relationship with the coaching staff was always up and down. The acquisition of Percy Harvin ignited a number of flare-ups before one final blow-up led to a pennies-on-the-dollar trade of the mercurial offensive weapon. The defense has felt and even lashed out at the burden of carrying an inconsistent offense through its growing pains. And yes, there has been a resentment of Russell Wilson, as some teammates certainly feel he's gotten an undue amount of credit for Seattle's run. The interesting thing is, of course, however all this developed is to become a part of the edge of the Pete Carroll Seahawks. And the question then is when it becomes too much to manage. However, I don't think we're there yet. Scotty, you're the Seahawks fan, of course. What do you take of all that?
That's a lot to absorb, but you know, I think a lot that we've heard over the past five seasons. I would say that, you know, despite all of this, I think it's a good point by Albert Breer. This team has won less than 10 games over the last 5 years, and has always, you know, been at least at the second round of the playoffs. And I think, you know, a little bit of a transitional phase going into this year of what they're doing offensively. I still think, you know, this is a team that can still win 10, 11 games.
I got to rebut to that when we come back, because this second round of the playoff thing, I don't like that answer.
All right, you'll have Corey breaking it down here with the King. A lot more football coming your way. This is hour number two. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, 100 days away until kickoff, which is exciting. Pretty pumped up about it. Football is slowly but surely coming back. But don't forget about those baseball teams, and we won't, certainly. We'll make sure that we
are... I won't let that happen.
No, you will not. We'll be covering baseball quite a bit, obviously, here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Now, I read a Albert Breer comment in regards to Seth Wickersham's inside the Seahawks column. Scott, I don't think I asked you what your thoughts on Wickersham's column was.
First off, I think Breer captures it, though. I think, despite the fact that it's been a winning team like 5 years running and six of the last 7 years has made the playoffs, you know, not all has been roses inside the locker room. But to that credit, you know, Pete Carroll lets the guys be themselves. And I think maybe I did speak about it, and I know I spoke about this with Corey, is that, you know, I've been in that clubhouse, and they talked about in Wickerhead Sam's stories about how it's viewed as like a savage environment. I remember going into that clubhouse and I'm like, wow, this is like a biker gang with football helmets. And you know what? Carroll lets that happen. And then he lets Russell Wilson be himself. And, you know, in the corner.
Help, get me out of here.
It kind of clashes, yeah.
Who is Russell Wilson's best friend on the team?
Doug Baldwin, probably.
Who's Russell Wilson's? I don't know about that because okay. He surrounds himself a lot with like the people
his PR staff grew
up with. No, actually, there was a story in Sports Illustrated, I think, about it. He's got his four or five buddies that he grew up with, yeah. And he's hired them to like be his staff.
So you think they have to sign NDAs too?
What's that? I don't think them. I think people like he doesn't know and things like that. But if you ask me about the story. I feel like it's almost like a junior high school type environment that Russell Wilson's like the teacher's pet and the rest of the guys are jealous of the teacher's pet. Now, I will say this. I think the defense, of course, has a lot of huge reason. It's the first since like the 1950s, early 50s Browns to lead the league in defensive scoring 5 years in a row.
See, the problem is,
hold on,
Scott.
Let me finish. 5 years in a row that – but. Without Russell Wilson, I don't think they get to and win a Super Bowl either. Yeah. I think they're both important parts of the team. But I think maybe the defense is kind of resentful of that because when they run this,
you're taking a long time. Taking a long time, Scott. I want to school you on your Seahawks. Go ahead.
Okay, with Tony Romo, you know championships. You can wait. Okay, but. I think they're both important parts of the team, and I feel like, you know, Sherman's got a lot of publicity, et cetera, but maybe like guys like Bobby Wagner, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor are not enough in the spotlight. Maybe that's where some of the resentment comes from.
And then the resentment can also come up. First of all, you're talking about these back-to-back years going to the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
You should have lost
five
in
straight years.
You should have lost in Minnesota.
Should have, could have, would have. You should have lost in Minnesota.
We're
not playing horseshoes.
That was an extra point. You should have been sent home in Minnesota 2 years
ago. That didn't happen.
And then
last season, Adrian Peterson fumbled.
Last season, you beat the only team in the NFC playoffs that you would have beat. You would have not beat another team in the playoffs last year. The Seahawks would not have beat the Giants. They wouldn't have beat the Cowboys. They got rolled by Atlanta. They wouldn't have beat the Packers. The only team that they could have beat,
they would have beat the Giants.
Was the Lions.
Dallas didn't beat anybody. What you're doing though is you're skewing the facts.
I'm
okay?
not skewing the facts.
No,
this
they
is the
advanced.
Facts of the matter is
they
you
advanced.
Talk about high, junior
they
high school
advanced.
And resentment.
They
you know
advanced.
Why they resent him? Because they suck because of him. You know why?
What are
because
you talking
he,
take, about?
He took all the money out of the franchise and you had to get rid of all your offensive linemen. The team's offensive line is terrible because Russell Wilson got his humongous contract. That's why the team is not playing well.
Okay,
that's why they resent him.
I'm about to shoot down everything you said. So
why did they get rid of Max Unger?
Get ready.
Why did they get rid of Max Unger?
Get ready.
Because they couldn't pay him because they had to pay Russell Wilson, right?
Get ready to be schooled.
When they asked Russell Wilson to restructure his contract,
what did
he say?
When you finish yelling.
He says no.
When you finish yelling, I'm going to school you. When you finish being.
Go ahead.
When you finish yelling, I'm going to school you, okay? First off, facts are they advance 5 years in a row, okay? Whether it was home field or whatever. Those are facts. You cannot debate the facts. You want to tell me that Blair Wilson should have made the kicks? Well, should have made the kick. It works the same way. Russell Wilson doesn't throw it low and outside. Malcolm Butler doesn't intercept it. Last year, they won the game. As a Tony Romo fan, you would not know about winning. Thirdly, okay, when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, they had the 26th ranked offensive line in the NFL.
Okay.
It was also one of my, also last year, Max Unger, Justin Britt was their best center. This has been the same model throughout the last 3 to 4 years of the offensive line. Okay? It has nothing to do with Russell Wilson. You can't blame it on him.
How many points per game were they averaging last year?
Russell Wilson, you can't blame. That's not the point you're making. You're talking about.
The offense was terrible.
They hate Russell Wilson because he got a lot of money. Sherman got a lot of money. Thomas got a lot of money. Chancellor got a lot of money. Wagner got a lot of money.
Okay.
The front office. It's not just because of Russell Wilson.
then why on that play with Marshawn Lynch in the backfield, right?
Right.
Lynch in the backfield.
Right.
Why did they want? Why did Pete Carroll want the hero golden boy Russell Wilson and throw the game-winning touchdown pass and not just get the ball to Marshawn Lynch? And then your defense has back-to-back championships over Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
You have not spoken a single fact yet, and the reason why they did that is because Marshawn Lynch was stuffed on the one near the goal line on two plays
now
already.
He's in Oakland.
Hold on two plays already, and what the fact was when they saw the defense, they put about like 8-9 guys in the box, so they decided to go pass, which was the wrong thing to do, the wrong decision to do. But the reason why they did it was is because they were coming full out after Lynch defensively.
Yeah, but look, the locker room. Players don't have to really love each other, like each other. I mean, look
we
at the 86
Mets. We saw that with the
Mets.
70s Yankees.
You know, you can, 70s Yankees. You can go down the list of very successful teams that not everybody's going to have kumbaya moments in the locker room. And I think maybe that's kind of good for the team. Maybe it gets that defense jacked up. Russell Wilson is the face of that team. There's nothing you can do. It's the NFL. The quarterback is usually going to be the face of the franchise. And if you have a successful quarterback, which Russell Wilson has, yes, he took that contract, and he should restructure it to help with that offensive line. That is something that, if they did that, could really improve that team. Because outside of the center, it leaves a lot to be desired.
You can't blame Wilson for that. That's the way the front office has structured things. For years, they brought in like lesser guys and let Tom Cable coach them up.
They want to make sure they got the Golden Boy quarterback.
They paid a lot of other people besides Wilson, though.
Not the kind of money Wilson's
getting. You're not making sense.
Yeah, but the quarterback
is going to be a big money position.
Look at Joe Flacco. I mean, look, I'm not trying to take sides here. But, I mean, look with Joe Flacco. He got like $120 million.
Yeah, but Joe Flacco is like, he's different, though, because he can go into Baltimore and win a game in January.
I'd rather have Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson, he's a Super Bowl champion. Been there twice. I get that. That was beating Minnesota. They were beating Minnesota, Greg. They were beat. They lost that game.
Adrian Peterson also had a big shot in fumbling the game away. And here's the other thing with the defense. As much as I love
the defense
him,
created that fumble.
Wickerson made this point in the story that they had the lead, and Bobby Wagner turned to Earl Thomas and said, if we win this game, we can be considered the greatest defense of all time, right? And then the defense, I think people forget that the defense was – they blew a 24-14 lead.
I tell you one thing. Once this team's talent turns to the downside, Pete Carroll will be the hell out of it.
Oh, his yeah, you know
first
that.
First sign of that.
Pete Carroll don't love
him. The way that I draft – they draft, I wouldn't be so certain about that.
Just like they do a really good job drafting offensive linemen.
But you know, the CJ Pro sites that you said, Matt, about 60 receptions, I think I'm going to have a lot of CJ Pro sites. Not a lot. I'm going to get down with some CJ Pro sites in 2017.
The one thing that's a concern, you know, is he doesn't stay healthy. That concerns the coaching staff, too.
It's funny. I was texting Matt yesterday about Alex Wood. I mentioned injured players, are always going to get hurt. No matter who they are, we are always optimistic, yes. And we always say, if this doesn't happen, I mentioned Carlos Hyde, and I said it myself, right? Like, if he doesn't get hurt, blah, 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 blah. And we say it all the time. CJ Prose is the guy that's always hurt. And he's only been his rookie, 1 year in the NFL. He was always hurt. The moral of the story, when it comes to Gronk, when it comes to Keenan Allen, when it comes to all these injured guys, we're saying, if he doesn't get healthy, etc., we should just probably leave that out.
I think
they're going to get hurt.
They are. And like, football's such a violent sport. I asked our Chris Dolman, I said, why do some players get injured more than others? He said, Scott, it's just in their DNA. Some guys get hurt more than others.
I think Eddie Lacy in the sixth round is a nice value, though.
I think so, too.
If he's there, I think he's going to score some touchdowns.
He is.
He can catch some balls.
I completely agree. I've been on the Eddie Lacy train as well.
Yeah, they got a significant role design from this year.
When we come back, we're going to look at some of the other breakout players, potentially, for 2017. We mentioned Ty Montgomery. We got a whole hell of a lot more. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning, 100 days away from NFL kickoff, here on the Fantasy Sports Network. here on the Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Oh, Miles Austin's a member of the Dallas Cowboys scout team.
Oh, really?
Somebody gave him a job. Yeah, it's nice. They needed some money to give him a job. Jerry's a loyal man.
Oh, yeah. You know, Jerry Love. We love Miles Austin for his...
You pretend to be Terrell Pryor.
...contributions for that season and a half.
Okay, so we're back on the road. Let's do it. And I want to get into now some of the potential breakout candidates here in 2017. Corey and I have compiled together... A list. Some of the guys who we have talked about. Some of the guys we've talked about.
Take one and pass it.
We
down.
Haven't. So
great.
That's yours. I got one right in front of me. All right. So we mentioned Ty Montgomery earlier in the show. We mentioned Isaiah Crowell every day on the show. I'm going to leave them out. We talked a lot yesterday about Cameron Meredith, so I'm going to leave him out. Here are some guys that we haven't, and I'd love to go around the table and ask what you guys think of them. Let me start with potentially last year's everybody's favorite breakout guy, and that's Devontae Parker. He was supposed to, in Miami, be the Demaryius Thomas for Adam Gase. He was going to be the Alshon Jeffrey for Adam Gase. Instead, it didn't happen. We saw glimpses, but it didn't happen. There was a time last July where Devontae Parker was going ahead of Jarvis Landry in drafts. All everybody was doing was talking up Devontae Parker over and over and over again. And then he got hurt again. Jarvis Landry went back up. And Devontae Parker became an afterthought again. But here we sit on May 30th, and a lot of people are back in on Devontae Parker again. Is this the year, Corey Parson, it all comes together for Devontae Parker?
I don't, unless there's a change at the quarterback position, I don't think so. Tannehill coming back off that injury.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to just cut it right there. He's going to get hurt again.
Yeah.
He is not healthy, and he's going to get hurt again. This is a massive mistake by the Dolphins, just not letting this kid get surgery.
So what's going to end up happening is he's coming back off that injury. He's playing behind. The old line, so he doesn't have confidence in his offensive line. And he's scared he's going to get hit in his knee and tear his knee up again. So, taking time, driving the ball down the field to the area of the field where Devontae Parker operates, it's not going to happen. It's going to be a lot of Jarvis Landry because he's going to be getting rid of the ball quickly. So, that's going to be his game right there. That's how the Dolphin offense is going to roll. It's going to be Jarvis Landry. But I do think there's a possibility that Ryan Tannehill could be benched at some point this season. And if that happens, that's when we'll start to see the Devontae Parker.
Who's
that,
the backup now?
Matt Moore.
Matt Moore.
He's still the backup. Yeah.
That's how I think it happens. Yeah. So as long as Ryan Tannehill's the guy, I don't see the breakout coming. I'll be underexposed.
I was saying I thought Tannehill would get benched last year, and it didn't happen. I don't know if they're going to do that. But I don't still have a lot of confidence his offense changes. I really think Jay Ajayi takes another step forward in terms of consistency this year, and they know they can rely on him. They can order. Now, Parker is talented. You're totally correct, Greg. He showed glimpses of where this guy's got spectacular leaping ability and that, just all kinds of athletic gifts. But I just don't know this is the right offense for him to be a breakout because they don't have a quarterback who can throw the ball downfield consistently. He got a little bit better at last year with Kenny Stills. I think Kenny Stills is still going to be a factor in there too. I just don't know. And he's had reasons for his growth to be stunted too at the NFL level, including injuries. I think that the Devontae Parker breakout is coming in 2018.
Yeah, I mean, Scott made some good points here. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be the Jay Ajayi show in 2017 in Miami. They're talking about 350 carries. He's going to catch the ball more. And then you got Landry, who's going to get his 100 targets off the bat right there. Kenny Stills is the deep threat. I mean, he's not going to score as many touchdowns as he scored last year. I can just tell you that right now. Julius Thomas has been brought in. Adam Gase guy. So we'll see that. I think, though, if Parker could hit, if he does hit, he's a guy that can win you championships. So is it worth taking a shot on him? For me, it's all going to come down to price. I do love the talent. Don't like the quarterback, like you guys have mentioned. I think that's been Miami's main problem here, is Tannehill, to me, has always been hyped up to somebody that he's not. I don't think he's a top-tier NFL quarterback. So I think that's where they had their biggest hole.
All right, so
Alex Smith Southeast.
So it sounds like we're all going to be relatively underexposed to Devontae Parker. I don't think any of us are totally out on him, but it seems like we're just a bit underexposed.
Where are we getting him? What's the early ADP?
The early ADP for Devontae Parker is 120, wide receiver 46.
It's like 12th, 13th
round?
I'll take a crack.
In my draft.
It's not right. It's not what you're seeing, something different?
Yeah, draft, he went in the 7th round.
He's going in that 6-7. He's going in that 6-7 round range, almost like a starter. He's going to have to be a starter. He's going to be a starter, a flex option slash starter on fantasy teams this year if you want to get in on there. Because, listen, all throughout the preseason, we're going to hear, oh, he looks tremendous, he looks tremendous, he looks tremendous. His quarterback does not look tremendous.
Yeah, I think like Corey said, that's right. He looks tremendous. He's ready for the breakout. And the other word you're going to hear is he's matured.
100%. I'm looking at Fantasy Pros' average draft position. Obviously, this is going to change as more drafts get into the system. So this was at 120. You're already seeing him in the 6th and 7th round, both of you guys, Matt and Corey.
Yeah.
That's where it made more sense to me. And I thought, like, given that he is a hot name and a sexy name and all that stuff, you would be much closer to Corey and Matt than it is to the 10th round, 12th
Once
round.
Once again, context here. Now, these guys in the expert league see him in the 6th, 7th. In some mainstream leagues, people are not going to think breakout. They're just going to look at last year. He could drop to that point in a regular average person mainstream office league, and I would take the crack.
I want to get to Los Angeles, both teams in Los Angeles. We've talked a little bit about Keenan Allen and his return from injury. And I think all of us kind of love Keenan Allen. We want him to be healthy, and I don't know if he will be. We spoke last week briefly, Corey, about the Mike Williams injury, how he wasn't at OTAs, and he's going to make his way back. And, you know, let's stay cool here, Mike Williams. But the guy that I need to bring up for you is Tyrell Williams. He was a guy that I think a lot of people, when they picked him up last year after Keenan Allen got hurt, they thought he could be a person that wins you a championship. And he battled his own injuries, as in every single skill position player on the San Diego Chargers outside of Phillip Rivers. He battled his own injuries, but there is no doubt there is talent in Tyrell Williams. But with Keenan Allen supposedly back healthy, with the drafting at 8 overall of Mike Williams, what do you think of Tyrell Williams?
He's going to need injuries. He's going to need injuries to those big guns in front of him. Excuse me, and Allen. And Williams, and the younger Williams, before he really gets a chance. Maybe he can outshine the younger Williams, because you said he's going to get off to a slow start dealing with this back injury. He's still a second, third option on this team, but I think if the other two guys are healthy, that's who they're going to go with. Plus, to be running the football a ton more this year and getting Melvin Gordon involved at the backfield. I think what we saw last season with the 7 touchdowns, without over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, about 70 receptions, I think that is the ceiling, unless the injury bug hits Keenan Allen once again this year, which could very well happen.
Matty Mo.
Yeah, he's a guy that I actually got last season, and I loved him. I mean, he had 9 weeks of double-digit production. But as Corey says, there's just, you know, if Mike Williams is in, it's going to be interesting. You got 2 good tight ends on this team. You got 3 receivers. You got a coach who excels in the running game coming to town. So, I mean, it's going to be a curious... it's a team that I will definitely try to watch and monitor throughout the preseason to hear what's going on. I do like this kid a lot, though, but I think, like Corey stated, last season seems like his ceiling right now due to the mouths that need to be fed.
This is a pick where you can't do it on draft day and feel assured about it, but it does have upside. With Mike Williams, we still have to remember that he's a rookie. And sometimes these rookie wide receivers, and I'm not saying to this degree, but Laquon Treadwell, we hear all, you know, this hype about them, and then they hit the pros, and they don't blossom as quickly as we would like them to. If that happens, there's an opportunity for Tyrell Williams to step forward again. So this is uncertain. It's a later pick, I think, with potential upside, because I think Phillip Rivers already has a rapport with him, and he's already shown he can be a playmaker. So he's somebody you can't sleep on.
In my draft, Tyrell Williams and Mike Williams went within three picks.
Where?
In the 12th round.
In the 12th round. Where are you seeing Tyrell Williams go?
Yes, that's about the same spot where Tyrell Williams is going. As the young man gets healthier, Williams, the younger Williams, Mike, he'll start to raise up probably into that 9th, 10th round range. Tyrell will probably live in that 11th, 12th round range unless the injury situation looks dire for Williams or Keenan Allen. But Keenan Allen's already in OTAs. He's running. He looks like he's going to be good to go. So Tyrell Williams, if you had him last year, I think that's what you're going to get. I think at some point he'll have some action off the waiver wire. But he's going to be a player. You're going to draft him. If they get off to a start with Keenan Allen, the young Williams, like they want to get off, he's going to be on the waiver wire by week 3 or 4.
Well, Allen's going to be the slot guy full time now, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. And then now you got Williams on the outside. So, you know, it's just going to be interesting. I want to see the Anthony Lynn factor, too.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. But there's an Anthony Lynn factor. Let's remember, Ken Whisenhunt is still the offensive coordinator in San Diego. That was one of the coaching changes we'll talk about on tomorrow's show, in that they made a coaching change with Anthony Lynn. But Ken Whisenhunt remains. He's been with Phillip Rivers for a long time, after, you know, besides a brief stay in Tennessee. Him and Phillip Rivers have done this for a while. So when we return, we'll talk about another wide receiver out there in Los Angeles that I think has real breakout potential. We'll do that and get to the ADP desk on the other side. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Imagine Tyrell Williams out there in Los Angeles as a potential wide receiver breakout candidate. There's another wide receiver
in Los Angeles.
Ooh, that's worth discussing, and it's Robert Woods. I get it. Jared Goff makes no one exciting.
I'm excited for Woods, though.
Well, I'm glad. That's why he's on the list. Kenny Britt had a lot of success in Los Angeles last year. New coach, who's had some offensive success in Washington. Second year for Jared Goff. And you look around the wide receiver room, Robert Woods is the guy. Former Buffalo Bill, Matt Modica. What can Robert Woods be this year?
I think he's going to be his security blanket. I really like the landing here. I mean, Tavon Austin, they want him to be like Tyreek Hill, but that's never worked out so far. They did draft the kid Kupp, who is kind of like a Robert Woods type player, I guess. But I think Woods is the guy this season. I think they're going to throw the ball more. They need to throw the ball more. They need to expand this offense to make Todd Gurley have some sort of opportunity in that backfield. And as a Bills fan, I have to give Robert Woods some credit. He is a good wide receiver. He knows he catches the ball, and he can really help a quarterback. And, you know, Jared Goff is going to need some help. So I do like this move. He's somebody that I think, you know, you're going to get a nice return on investment when drafted this season.
Where are you seeing Corey Robert Woods go right now?
Oh, he's going real late in drafts. He's going well down double-digit rounds, 13, 14, 15 rounds.
Great pick. He's number one wide receiver.
No, exactly. And I think we should get involved. Obviously, people are going to be scared off because of the quarterback situation. But listen, what's that fool that they had that with the mustache?
Jeff Fisher.
That guy's gone now.
Yes.
The boogeyman is gone now. Good time. Sean McVay, nice young offensive-minded coach and staff.
Fun. He's fun.
Supposedly work well with young quarterbacks, kind of the guy that got Kirk Cousins up to the passer that he is now. Now, Goff is going to take a lot of work, but I do like the Robert Woods late. I think dollar make you hollow on Robert Woods is something that will be able to come back and fantasy owners to be satisfied. You want him to play 14, 15, 16 games. That's important. But Robert Woods is a player I can get with Scotty. I'm going to have some action on Robert Woods. I like him. He can play. Remember last year when they put Watkins down? Not, I mean, say it like that. But when they put Watkins
about your boo like that.
When they put Watkins on the IR,
yeah,
whatever, they asked Watkins, like, yo, who's the guy over here now? And Watkins was like, it's Robert Woods.
Yeah, I was very impressed by Woods because until last year, it's like he didn't step up and take advantage at all. And then last year, all of a sudden, he did. I don't like him to Cooper Kupp. I think Cooper Kupp's more of a guy like is going to be PPR, move the chains, help him check, you know, first downs, good route runner. I think Robert Woods is more athletic than Cooper Kupp. You know, he's the type of guy where I think, you know, not only can he help move the chains, but I think he can win a jump ball in traffic, et cetera. Really, the key is Jared Goff. But then again, on a bad offense, somebody has to catch the ball. Somebody, even if it's a bad offense. The word is out of Los Angeles is that Goff is picking up this offense a little bit better. There's some talent there. So I'm okay with that. I think Robert Woods has the potential to be a pretty good PPR.
Goff is going to pick it up. You don't want that old Jeff Fisher breathing on your back.
How about this 12th round? There were 7 wide receivers taken. Tyrell Williams, Mike Williams, Breshad Perriman, Tavon Austin, Sterling Shepard, Robert Woods, and Josh Doctson.
That's a nice wide receiver run right
except
there.
Except for Tavon Austin.
Yeah. And that's interesting. One of those names, though, stuck out just now because I thought to myself, I don't like it. Can you read those again?
Josh Doctson?
Breshad Perriman. Perriman talk is starting to, he looks great in camp. He's catching everything. He's flying and jumping all over the place.
Yeah, but those are May camp stories. Yeah, they write those are puff pieces when, as a beat writer, you got nothing else to write.
Yeah.
You're like,
out of those 7 wide receivers,
ever, you know?
I think Robert Woods could possibly have the most points earned this season.
Oh, Josh Doctson, if he can get on the field.
Yeah, if he can get on the field.
The Doctson thing is going to be interesting. Of course, you know, how is this going to break down in the hierarchy of their receivers? They brought in the guy from the Browns.
Pryor,
thank you. And there's already talk that, you know, he wants
to him and Cousins.
You got Crowder, who is a damn good receiver. So
then you still got Jordan Reed in the mix also. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's enough to go around, though, especially if the running game don't hit. I think it's enough to go around.
I agree. I love Washington from an offensive fantasy perspective. I've been talking about that quite a bit. Just how many pieces there are in there, wanting to get in Terrell Pryor, wanting to get in on Jamison Crowder, in on Jordan Reed. I'm totally with you guys.
So who would you take at quarterback, Winston or Kirk Cousins?
I think I'm still taking Winston. I think he has the ability to do more. But I think it's close.
Yeah, I mean, I had to make that decision, and honestly, it was really tough. I think statistically, Kirk Cousins just it really isn't close, but I'm buying Winston that third season.
Is it an interesting thing in an auction? I think Winston will cost you a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
I think Kirk Cousins will cost. So the stats will be kind of
similar.
Especially
this season.
Yeah, exactly. So I like Kirk Cousins. Let's now get, we're 100 days out from the NFL kickoff. Let's get to the ADP desk right now for the first time here in 2017. Thank you. All right, now, clearly this is not going to be right because every number I've given out has not been great, according to Corey and Matt and Modica. But nevertheless, since I'm running the ADP desk, since I am
your ADP desk.
My ADP desk here, we're going to be using this. I have the consensus in front of me, top 100 rankings according to Fantasy Pros. Now, there's only 3 sources in here at the moment. I'll go PPR scoring because people seem to like PPR scoring better.
That's what we do.
So, with that being said, Scott the King Angle, we're 100 days out. Pick a number 1 to 100.
It can only be one number. 100.
Number 100. Number 100 is quarterback Dak Prescott.
America's quarterback.
America's quarterback.
That would be Tom Brady.
A cheater.
Dak Prescott, sophomore surge or sophomore slump?
I don't think we see a sophomore slump. But you also have to understand that it's going to be difficult coming into the great quote, like I said last week. Second year quarterback does as well as he does in his first year. It's improvement. So I think Dak has already been in camp, working out well. I think he has a lot to prove in the second season also. I don't really see no slump. We saw him managed the game less toward the second half last year. Obviously, a connection with Dez Bryant is going to be important because you're not going to rack up fantasy points throwing the ball to Cole Beasley and Jason Witten. But we saw that start the development take place on the second half last year. Also, the ability to run the football is going to give you 4 or 5 rushing touchdowns on the season. I got him in my top 10 at quarterback, and I think Dak Prescott will return fantasy value.
King.
I like Prescott. very, very savvy for a young guy. I think, you know, he's got
some Russell Wilson
certain,
to him.
Yeah, I think he's got certain things just like Wilson. It's just like they're both very heady and poised for young quarterbacks. Excellent decision making. Both of them throw a great deep ball, I think, and you know they can run as well. I think I like Prescott more as a pocket passer. Well, I think Wilson is more dangerous on the run. I think he makes sound decisions. What concerns me about him, if anything, is how much they can run the ball with Ezekiel Elliott and if Dez Bryant can stay healthy. That said, I'd still be very comfortable drafting him as my fantasy starter.
Where are you on Dak Prescott?
I'm going to buy Prescott. I think the key to his success this season, and as you've seen the progression, I thought that was the real story of last season, how Dak Prescott progressed throughout the year, is Dez Bryant remaining healthy. Because if Bryant stays healthy, it makes Beasley, you know, it puts everybody in the right spot as far as their receivers. And Dez is still dynamic. Dez can still go up the best of them, get it down. So I think Dez Bryant's health holds the key to Dak Prescott's success.
And that's the thing that I love about Dak, what you just pointed to, because still take it down. I love how Dak will put it up within his catch radius, within his wingspan, and say, you know, kind of in an A.J. Green, Andy Dalton way where he's already, I think he's a better quarterback than Dalton, is go up and get it. You know, make your play. You know, that he's already got that connection. He developed it in the preseason, and that was very impressive last year.
Matt Modica, ADP desk. Give it to me.
Lucky number 13.
Lucky number 13. According
Lucky Whitehead.
According to Fantasy Pros, number 13 overall is Michael Thomas.
I mean, I'm very excited for Michael Thomas. If I'm picking at the end of the first round, I'm not someone that's pouting and saying, oh my, if I can get, you know, Gordon, Freeman, Shady, and a Michael Thomas, a Jordy Nelson, or T.Y. Hilton, you know, I'll take one receiver and one running back. I mean, this is a kid that really had a good year. Okay, he is going to be the focus of the offense. I'm gonna bet on Drew Brees and the number one wide receiver for the Saints. They also have Willie Snead. They also have a deep threat in Ted Ginn Jr. So it's not like they don't have any weapons, and hopefully Kobe Fleener for the Saints makes an improvement on last year. They have an interesting, I'll use the term interesting, running game this season. They seem to really hate one guy. They brought in Peterson. They drafted the kid Kamara, who I really like. And if he plays that Reggie Bush role, then he's going to return immediate dividends this season. So I'm in on Michael Thomas. I'm not scared that he is the focal point.
Michael Thomas, Corey, is the Saints' nominal number one wide receiver. Is he our number one wide receiver? He's being drafted like one.
Yeah, I think you draft him as a wide receiver one. I like him. I like him that way. I like him as a first round, late in the first round guy. Should rack up about 140 targets, probably reeling about 90 receptions. Get you close to double-digit touchdowns. He's a true number one wide receiver.
When we return, we do one more ADP dash with Corey Parson, and we'll get his thoughts on the story of the day from yesterday and find out what's next in the OGs. Road Experts in the Morning. Wrap up right after this. All right, Corey, the ADP desk, 12 minutes remaining, top 100. Matt has chosen one. Scotty has chosen one. You are up, my friend.
In honor of the two Met fans sitting at the table with me, I want to choose 86, the last time the Mets were the World Series champions, 1986, not 1786.
86 is a man we've talked about a lot on yesterday's program. That's Mike Gillisley.
Mike Gillisley, running back for the New England Patriots now. Don't know what the role's going to be. But we do like him to be the lead dog in the backfield. All definitely want him to get the goal line work. So scored 9 touchdowns with the Bills last year as a part-time player. This year as a full-time player, should be able to reach that number and exceed it as a member of the New England Patriots. So Mike Gillisley at 86, I can do that all day, twice on Sundays.
I just drafted Mike Gillisley in the 9th round of our standard mock draft.
I left him for you, Scott.
I think he's going to play a role there. You know, the guy could score, I think, 10 touchdowns. Rex Burkhead's going to be a factor. But, you know, there's some weeks, though, that, you know, that that Gillislee will seem like a zero, the amount of nationals championships in Washington, but I like him.
I think Gillislee is a guy that is only going to move up draft boards as you get closer and closer. So if you can get him now at this price, enjoy
that Pat's hype. That Pat's
not
love.
18 touchdowns, but I could see 11.
Yeah, I'm betting on double digits.
Yeah,
I'm betting on it too. I'm in on Mike Gillislee, as I said on yesterday's show. All right,
go ahead, you give us a number, Greg. But you got the list.
I'm not gonna give you a number because I want to get something else before.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I want to wrap up the show because I need to get everybody's thoughts on Tiger Woods, y'all.
Tiger Woods going back. He had to take a little trip to the slam.
A little trip. He looked a little dazed in that. In that mugshot yesterday.
So he said it wasn't no alcohol
involved.
No
alcohol involved. Well, he refused to take a breathalyzer, which is his right, certainly.
Yeah, no doubt.
But there's no alcohol involved. He probably would have taken the breathalyzer.
I bet he misses that cute little blonde. I miss her, so.
Nah, Earl Woods' son is Earl Woods. Remember, his pop's name is Earl Woods. Earl Woods' son is having some tough times, so I hope he gets it together. I just can't with Tiger, not really. He's a wild dude.
There's never.
Earl Woods' son, Tiger, has a lot of Russell Wilson similarities. Like when Russell was like, all-star choir boy, but really I know you a fraud. Like that kind of thing.
Once again, basing nothing.
Did you know Tiger was a fraud before he became a fraud?
Oh, you can tell. Come on, God. Do you think dudes like these?
His dad used to pretty much go around tipping people for him.
I grew up with Tiger. I was very young when I grew up with Tiger. Yeah. Winning. I didn't know.
He was, on the course.
Well, there would be better. He's probably taking steroids, though. So that's what
exactly. Steroids and then all of this other stuff. So, crazy. He's a junkie.
Seeing him yesterday with that mugshot after we left here was crazy. Because that was not like a, mugshot, I'm sick, and you just sit there pissed off. That was like, I am super messed up. Ugh,
yeah. Mugshot. I'm high as a kite.
That's a Michael Floyd mugshot.
Pretty much. Honestly, like I said, things did not go well for Tiger, or not going well for Tiger Woods at all. What's coming up next in the OGs, Corey?
Coming up on the OGs, we got some news and notes that we'll continue to go through from OTAs. I still want to kind of look at some of the players on this breakout candidate list, and then I'll get my buddy George Kurtz to give us an update on the latest trends and news and stuff that's going on with the back of the bullpen. He does the closer reports for RotoExperts.com, exclusive edge package on sale now. Yeah, you use the promo code FREERADIO at checkout. Ding.
I hate Brandon Maurer.
George hates everybody.
Yeah,
he's not a big fan of.
No, he likes you, Corey.
Well, I'm glad he likes me.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. You have a little friendship.
Yo, where's the all-in kid at? He on the clock still in this draft?
Unbelievable.
Come on, all-in kid. You're supposed to be the top ranker. You can't even make a damn draft pick.
For the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. For the king, Scott Angle. For Matty Modica, my name is Greg Suss. We'll be back tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern, for another edition of the Little Experts of the Morning. A fantastic Tuesday afternoon. More football next on the OGs. More football tomorrow. Have a fantastic one. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.